is officially the weekend, and you know what that means. It's time for the Week in Review, our very own Week in Review. My name is Jack Inslee. I'm the executive producer here in the studio, and I'm joined by the one and only Chipper Cheery, executive director of the network, Aaron Fairbanks. What's good, Aaron?
Oh, man. You know, I'm just sitting here and admiring this buffalo check with a silver duct tape lined blanket that is hanging up out in the annex here at Roberta's, and thinking about a lot of fashion happening in the last couple of weeks. You know, Fashion Week here in New York.
Is Fashion Week over?
You know, I'm more of a food person, so my like consumption of Fashion Week information has come via mostly Instagram. So I'm not 100% sure, but you know, there's some fashion happening here at Roberta's. There's a little fashion happening in the studio. I mean, I feel like fashion.
Food. I tried to buy Yeezys this morning. It didn't work out.
You can't buy it. Only on Tidal.
No, the shoes. The shoes.
Ah, the shoes.
Yeah, they sold out in like 2 seconds, but I tried.
Well, you know, you could go for one of them $2,500 holy sweaters.
Exactly. Well, if you're joining us for the first time and you're confused as to what's going on, let me help you out here. This is where we try to distill our great 35 weekly shows and all the other things that happen in and around this network into a tight little 25-minute segment for you, so you can be jam-packed with what you need to know heading into next week from the food world and beyond. So what we like to do in this show is start off with the last great bite that each of us had. That's a tricky question for me this week, as I got hit with a crazy stomach virus and didn't eat very much at all. So I'll kind of go back to the last thing I can really remember having, which was I cooked these spicy potatoes from Madhura Jaffrey's book, A Taste of India. And they were damn good. I've been cooking a lot of Indian food at home, cooking out of a lot of great cookbooks, but hers is a little more like regional and authentic, and it calls for some pretty weird esoteric stuff. And thankfully, you know, living in New York City, I've got access to some of these markets, and I can get some of these weird powders that she calls for, and it was just so good. I just can't even... Yeah, I'm excited to cook my way through the rest of that book. It's the first thing I've cooked from her, so it was very, very delicious.
Oh, man, Indian food is the best. It's like a whole new culinary landscape that you're on. I'm excited to follow you. I feel, for me, I'm a little more straightforward. I have been really digging on the guys over at Bread Lab, just up the street from the studio here, doing some really interesting week-by-week experiments with different regional grains. They're bringing in grains from all around the country, different parts of the world. They're grinding them in-house, and then they're kind of experimenting with what that grain is best used for. So they always have delicious breads, but this week they are celebrating cakes. So I have been making my way down Moore Street every afternoon for a bite of cake. Yesterday was chocolate with banana. The day before was this really amazing Sonoran wheat and hazelnut cake. Really interesting to get a sense of how different grains express themselves via wheat, via cake, via pasta, via bread. Definitely worth checking them out if you're not local. Follow them on Instagram. It's just Brooklyn Bread Lab. Super cool stuff. And
Aaron will not stop talking about
it. I will not stop talking about it. I'm like a little obnoxious.
It will not happen. No, but she's right. It's legit stuff. If you ever come visit the office or the studio, there's like a 70% chance there'll be something from Brooklyn Bread Lab, either here or about to be here or being discussed.
I think because it's just like chill. I like to like have another place in the neighborhood I can walk over and like have a quick chat and a bite. And like, I think it also has like this meditative quality for me where I'm just like not at the office, not at the studio, but somewhere kind of like delicious and different.
Check them out if you're in Bushwick. Let's jump into the studio and hear some clips from this week. So as I mentioned at the top of the show, we have 35 shows a week. That's a lot of content. So, you know, we try to give you a little sampling of what's been going down in the studio. So you can just kind of get a peek into this world of ours. So what I want to start with is our good buddy Dave Arnold, the host of Cooking Issues, kind of an authority in the food science space, owner of Booker and Dax Bar in New York City. which is you know, a bar where you can get drinks on fire, drinks with the liquid nitrogen, all that sort of stuff. And the founder of the Museum of Food and Drink. So, you know, if you don't know Dave Arnold, you might want to get to know Dave Arnold if you're interested in food and science or any combination of those two. So he took a call on his show Cooking Issues this week. It's mostly you know, a question-answer kind of thing. People write him in questions, and he answers them, or they call in live. And he got a call-in question on Dondurma Turkish ice cream, which is stretchy ice cream, which I don't know anything about. But let's listen to what Dave had to say.
The potato makes a similar texture. However, it's pretty finicky. You have to use, like, you know, regular standard U.S. potatoes. They have to be cooked and cooled the way that it said, and then it doesn't last for a long time. In other words, the stretchiness, you can't save it for a while. And, in fact, I noticed I brought some of the Celepdonderma, the real stuff, back from Turkey in a dry ice thing, and it, in fact, does not keep its stretchiness either. You have to re-beat it right before you eat it to get the kind of stretchiness back. But the recipe that I actually use when I really want that texture is the Jelan gum plus guar gum recipe that is also on the blog. And you don't have to do, like, make it tea flavored or any of the other stuff like I did on the blog, but that Jelan guar is pretty sweet, and you can light that stuff on fire, which is always nice.
Always nice.
Yeah, how much of that stuff made sense to you?
You know, I am going to say, yeah, not a ton. I'm trying to picture, like, stretchy Turkish ice cream having a little
made
bit of
made from potatoes?
Yeah, I think more he's saying that, like, the potato, I don't know. I guess I have to go back and listen to the full episode. I think, too, Emily Peterson on this week's episode of Sharp and Hot also was talking with her guest, Victory Gardens, a great new ice cream company here in the city, about Turkish ice creams. You can get a little bit more on stretchy ice cream. I have to say, mostly, I'm just excited to hear that there's, like, more ice creams out there that I haven't tried.
That's right. I mean, I'm looking at it now. You should Google it. Dondurma, if you're listening, and have Google capability. Dondurma. It's looks good to me.
Hey, man, I'm not mad at any kind of ice cream, even in February.
So, naturally transitioning from ice cream to body positivity.
Smooth.
Thank you. Actually, a pretty heavy episode. Episode 21 of Feast Your Ears, which is a show hosted by Harry Rosenblum. He runs the Brooklyn Kitchen. And he had a guest on, Matthew Diaz, who had lap band surgery at the age of 23, which seems like really young for that sort of thing. And Matthew has kind of transitioned into some motivational speaking and kind of spreading awareness of body positivity issues. So it was a really heavy and great episode. And I'm going to play this clip right now so you can get a peek into it.
So you are now sort of in the process of transitioning to doing public speaking and body positivity
yep.
work full time, right?
Yeah, it's something that sort of a result of this whole thing. A few days after the video initially went viral, a close friend of mine who is a teacher at Jacqueline Kennedy Onassis High School in Manhattan, he said, hey, if you have time, would you mind coming in and just speaking to my students about this stuff? And I had a day off of work, so I figured why not, and I went in and I talked to these classes, like, what, three or four 7th grade English classes, you know, 14 and 15 year olds, and just like small groups of people. And at the end of the day, one girl comes up to me who was in the first class and said, hey, I want you to know what you said really stuck with me and I'm gonna remember it. And at that moment, like, to this day, it was the most, like, satisfying thing I've ever done. And at that moment I realized, like, this is what I want to do. I want to communicate with people, because if I was 15 and someone told me, hey, you don't have to hate yourself just because your body is different, it would have saved me a lot of this whole process. And now I just, like, now that I'm out of that, now that I come out on the other side of that loneliness and that, like, depression, I just want to make sure nobody has to feel that way again.
Wow. Powerful. Powerful stuff from Matthew Diaz. And I think also really nice to hear a male voice on this topic.
True, right?
I think there's been a lot happening around kind of expanding the way we think about bodies and body positivity. I know, kind of on a slightly different note, the Sports Illustrated Swimsuit Edition had a cover in their latest, the 2016 Swimsuit Edition, Ashley Graham, a size 16 model, really taking the internet by storm. And the other end of the spectrum, similarly, you know, Barbie, classic children's doll, came out with an entire new line of different body shapes, different skin colors. I think to me, it's really exciting to hear this conversation happening and to hear from people like Matthew who are kind of out there, you know, sharing kind of how these things have impacted them and partaking in some of the more invasive treatments to deal with your size. I mean, I definitely recommend folks tuning into the rest of the episode, also following Matt on Twitter. It's a great perspective on how, you know, how real some of these topics are, and I think it really puts a face and like a personal
Yeah, the Sports Illustrated the cover was a big deal for a lot of people I know. I have a few friends who, it's funny, you know, like they're plus size models and they're very proud of that, and I always just thought that was like, I just don't know how I feel about that phrase, plus size model, you know, because I'm like, they're completely normal and beautiful looking women. It's like that label just never made sense to me.
Sure.
And yeah, so I think we're headed in the right direction with all of it, and I'm glad that Harry touched on that issue on his show. It's a great show. He does kind of delve into some topics that don't get discussed very often in the food space, so definitely check out Feast Your Ears by Harry Rosenbloom. And rounding it out...
Speaking of things not traditionally in the food space...
That's right. Let's lighten things up a little bit. Yeah, we had a show about cleaning sex toys this week. That's right. On episode 33 of Ask a Clean Person, our resident clean person, Jolie Kerr, who is, you know, she wrote a book called Things You Can't Ask Martha, My Boyfriend Barfed in My Handbag. So she's kind of this cleaning expert. And she had Meredith Haggerty, who is the reports editor at Racked National, to talk about, yes, cleaning your sex toys, which I can say I've never had to actually do, but maybe this will be helpful for some people here. Let's play this clip.
I'm like, not because you've never cleaned them, because you don't have the...
Yes.
Be clear, Jack. Be
I just
clear.
Don't clean them, you know? It's like... Let's play the clip.
So here are the two things that you have to know about the dishwasher.
Then you have everything, basically.
You have everything in life. Yeah. You have a dishwasher.
Can we have it all?
And
yeah.
It's full of dildos.
Yeah.
Okay, two very important things about using the dishwasher. First thing, only put the toys on the top rack. The heating element of most dishwashers is on the bottom, mm-hmm. and it's going to be too hot for toys. So top rack only, and don't use dish soap.
Oh.
Don't put the soap in. Well, you want to run this cycle because this way that they're going to get clean is through the steam.
Oh, okay.
It's not the soap. And dish detergent is harsher than you'd want to be using on dildos.
It's not a summer's eve kind of situation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there you go. Those instructions, the wiping off and the deep cleaning ones both, are also the ones you will follow if you are a person who owns a non-motorized sex toy in one of the following materials. And if you are, I would also like to speak with you because I have some questions.
These were new to me.
Stone, glass, Pyrex, and wood.
Okay.
I don't even know where to start.
I guess I want to like say props for the summer's eve shout out. That was unexpected, as was you know, just good information here. I think that's the thing I love about having Jolie as part of the network. You know, obviously we are food, agriculture and drink focused, but we like to think about all aspects of living a full and productive life.
Can I give a shout out to anybody who's got a wooden sex toy? I just want to shout that person out.
Hey, man, craft artisanal made sex toys. I am in support of. but I would really recommend folks checking out Jolie's weekly program. I mean, the sex toy episode is obviously super fun, and we wanted to include it because it is fun. But you can find so much great information on her show is superfood related, like in particular, thinking about kind of cleanup of food spills and messes, like how do you deep clean your oven? How do you get out wine stains? What do you do after your Jell-O shot party is over and there's Jell-O on all of your surfaces?
I learn a lot from this show.
She is just totally the best. And I think this is a really great kind of peek into what a good time you can have cleaning, which frankly had never occurred to me before I met Jolie. So Jolie, thank you so much for introducing the Heritage Radio Network team and our listeners to the joys of cleaning all types of things.
All types of things. And with that, let's move into some more serious matter on The Breakdown. So I assume we're not talking to a sex toy expert on The Breakdown.
We are not. We are not. You know, as regular listeners of this program and visitors to the Heritage Radio website know, we are really into covering kind of food and food policy. We have a couple of great shows on the network that do this on a weekly basis. Inside School Food with Laura Stanley, if you're interested in anything having to do with the federal school lunch program. What Doesn't Kill You with Katie Kiefer. Great program weekly, looking at all types of different kind of policy issues. Really interesting stuff these days. Katie's been doing a lot of work with different Congress people from across the country. Definitely worth tuning into. So we thought we would jump into a little bit of this electoral discussion, and who better to kind of help lead us than Claire Benjamin DiMattina. Claire is the executive director of foodpolicyaction.org. Food Policy Action was established in 2012 through a collaboration of national food policy leaders in order to hold legislators accountable on votes that have an effect on food and farming. Really, their big goal is to change the national dialogue on food policy by educating the public, that's us, on how elected officials are voting on these issues. Tom Colicchio is definitely one of the big names at the helm of this organization, and really admirably driving kind of chefs and big name food influencers to push themselves to engage with political candidates. And obviously, if you are alive in America right now, you know that the current political climate is a little cray. And so we are going to jump on the line here with Claire to get a little bit of a download on their work and some jumping off points for us. Claire, give us the state of the nation, or I guess as you guys are saying, the plate of the nation. What should we be looking for from our candidates? How do we evaluate them? If we care about food and agriculture, what are we looking for? What questions are we asking?
Sure, and thanks for having me on today. You know, we talk about this a lot. We sort of get the question, you know, how is policy tied to the food system? Why should we care about politics if we care about food? And, you know, the truth is policy and politics impact every part of the food we buy, eat, and feed our families. Talk a lot about sort of this example of why a head of broccoli is more expensive than a fast food cheeseburger. And the truth is that we're subsidizing the wrong kinds of food in this country. Nutrition guidelines recommend that 50% of our diet comes from fruit and vegetables, but we're only subsidizing somewhere around 6% to support the production of fruit and vegetables. And those remaining subsidies go to large commodity crops, corn and rice and soybeans. And, you know, this then leads to huge spikes in diet-related diseases, and it goes on and on. You know, 1 in 3 children are growing up today, and they'll develop type 2 diabetes, and this directly ties back to the kinds of food that we're subsidizing in this country. And so, you know, I could go on, but this is, you know, this alone should be reason enough that we should be asking better questions of our politicians and how they're going to change the cycle and start to work on these issues more holistically.
So tell us a little bit about Plate of Union. Like, this is a new project that you guys are embarking on. It's a partnership. You're really looking to put some of these issues front and center. How do folks get involved? What do they need to know?
Sure. So Plate of the Union is a collaboration between Food Policy Action, the Union of Concerned Scientists, and the HEAL Food Coalition, as well as many partners across the country. And our goal, really, for the first time, is to get candidates running for president to publicly declare that our national food and agriculture system is in need of significant reform. Because as we're talking about, our food system is incredibly out of balance. Americans are, and what we found through research is that Americans are concerned about access to healthy, affordable food, and they really want the next president to take bold action to start to fix the food system.
So I think one of go ahead.
I was going to say, if folks want to learn more about Plate of the Union, they should go to our website, plateoftheunion.com, sign our petition, ask the next president to take bold action, and learn more.
So I noticed on the website that you guys are soon going to be releasing an advocacy toolkit. Can you give us a little preview of what folks are going to find there?
Sure. So what we're doing is we're encouraging citizens across the country to talk to their people running for president, to engage with candidates, to, you know, create noise about these issues. And we're asking candidates to take 5 common sense steps, which includes, you know, committing to ensuring that all Americans have access to healthy food, to work on ending subsidies that support junk food, to support farmers, to protect food and farm workers, and to keep antibiotics working. And so this toolkit and other tools that we'll be putting out throughout the election cycle will arm the public with better information on how to write an op-ed, how to engage with candidates, what to do when you show up at a debate, how to tweet at candidates, sort of to give them the best tools possible to engage this campaign cycle.
That is awesome and so helpful. I feel like often people really want some simple common sense first steps on what to do. So thank you for taking a little time to give us the download on your work, and we look forward to being in touch lots between now and November.
Great. Thank you so much.
So, guys, if you want to hear more, want to learn more, it's foodpolicyaction.org. One of the interesting tools that they developed is kind of a scorecard for legislators in your state. So you can actually go online and look up your state legislator and see how they're being ranked in their responsiveness to food and food issues. It's a nice jumping off point. You can sign up now to get on that mailing list for the Action Toolkit. It's something we're going to be talking about a lot on this program and across the network between now and November. Super important issue. And this is like one of the great ways to stay involved, stay engaged, in addition, of course, to tuning in to Heritage Radio Network every week.
Our New York senators are doing pretty well here. Got 100% on Chuck Schumer and Kirsten Gillibrand. So that's...
Yeah, it's interesting.
Not so
like,
bad.
You can poke in there, and what's nice is you can click through and see kind of what are their most recent votes on different bills that have come to the floor, and get a sense, I think, of even like how we're interacting with food at a policy level. To me, it's like interesting when we were looking at, you know, with the passing of Scalia, like what's it going to mean to replace someone in that Supreme Court's, you know, bench seat? Like, what does that mean for food? And doing some like backup and looking at major like food oriented decisions for the Supreme Court, and was found like surprisingly few that were kind of directly tied. And so definitely something that we'll be thinking about more and doing a little bit more research on. But I think you cannot deny the fact that when we're spending literally billions of dollars, the federal government is spending billions of dollars shaping our food system, that as consumers, as individuals, as voters, like we really want to have a say in how those decisions are being made. And it has a huge impact on who can eat what and what we see where and what we're growing and all the environmental consequences for our bodies, for our world. It's a big topic, so we're not going to cover it all obviously today, but something we look forward to bringing you more insight on from our host and from friends of the network like Claire. So definitely check them out, foodpolicyaction.org.
Awesome. And Claire will actually be on What Doesn't Kill You, a show hosted by Katie Kiefer, which is live this Monday, February 22nd at noon. And with that, let's move on to some big ups. Of course, the Big Ups theme song by the band Big Ups, and this is where we like to big up people, places, things, stuff that we love. So on a personal note here, I'm going to kick this off. I've got to big up David, our new engineer. I'm gonna butcher his last name, and he's been joking about this all week with everybody, but it's Tedeschiori, I'll say. He's our new engineer here at Heritage Radio Network. His second day on the job and training, nonetheless. I come down with that stomach virus, so he was literally thrown into the fire this week. And he handled it really well. All the clips you just heard were shows that he engineered on his own, just kind of, you know, jumping right in. So David did an incredible job. Got to give him a real, real big ups. And welcoming him to the team. Really nice to have him on board.
I would definitely I would definitely echo that warm welcome and give a shout out to the rest of the HRN crew that helped support the shows happening in Jack's unfortunate absence. Definitely all hands on deck this week. My big ups. I want to give a shout out to one of my favorite podcasts. It's called The Read. It's basically where I get a ton of my like pop culture news, commentary, insights. It's a long one. It tends to be between like 70 and 90 minutes. It's hosted by Kid Fury and Crystal. It's really a look into what's happening in music and pop culture across the spectrum. I think it's like laugh out loud on a weekly basis for me. I definitely feel like it is mandatory listening at the Aaron Fairbanks household. So big up to The Read. Love those guys. I love what you do. And excited they're kicking off a nationwide tour to get a chance across the country to see them live. And you can find them on iTunes or wherever you get your podcast.
Awesome. Any good plans coming up for you?
Good plans. I actually made a strong commitment to no plans weekend.
Nice. I love those. Those are important. Those are very important.
Yeah. I feel like I'm really like, sorry, I can't make plans. I might be available, but I don't know. Cause I gotta like put a box on it.
No, it's funny. We share a lot of calendars here at work and I don't know if you mind me sharing this, I gotta out you a little bit. there was a period of time where I think it was Monday nights and on Aaron's calendar and our work calendar would come up chillin'. There was just like a chillin' time or chillax or something like that.
I definitely have realized that I have to schedule downtime because otherwise it doesn't happen. So it feels a little like backwards at first, but I think ultimately it's like what works for me. So
yeah, well, for the listeners that happen to be in South Beach, I'll be in South Beach DJing Saturday night at the Basement Club at Edition Hotel on 29th and Collins. Real long shot, but if you happen to be in the area and you want to shoot me a line on Twitter at @heritage_radio or just me at Jack Inslee, I'll make sure to take care of you. So,
aww,
yeah,
that'd
be really nice to see somebody show up that's from the heritage world. And with that, I think we're wrapping up here, Aaron. I hope
it all happened so fast.
It did all happen very fast. We jam-packed a lot in. If you enjoy this show, definitely subscribe to it in iTunes. Search Heritage Radio Network, where all of our programs are there. Visit the website. We add a lot of great additional resources, links to the shows that we've discussed, links to some of the other topics we've discussed. So you can really, once you're done listening to this, visit that page on the heritageradionetwork.org website, the Week in Review show, and go deeper and explore some of these things that we've brought up even more. And we'll see you next week like we always do. This show is always ready for your weekend. It's the Week in Review. I'm Jack Inslee, and on behalf of me and Aaron Fairbanks over here, we're going to let you go and see you next time.
Have a good week, guys.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.